It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And just before we get into that, I want to just look at one or two notes that I took during worship. I've simply put down here yes and no, and hope that I would remember what that meant to me. And I remember reading scripture where Jesus said, a man had two sons, and he said to one, go and work in my vineyard. And he said, yes, I will, and he didn't. And he said to the other one, go and work. And he said, no, I won't, and he did. And then Jesus said, which one did the will of the Father? And the obvious answer is the one who did the work. So the one who said, no, I won't, but he did. And there are times in our lives, not part of the message today, but hopefully it will speak to someone else, not just me. There are times in our life where we think, I can't do that. I don't really want to do that, but you do. Then you're doing the will of the Father. There are times we say, I can't say that. I don't want to be the one to put my hand up, but you do. You're doing the will of the Father. And I'll be a little bit vulnerable with you this morning. I've said over the last few weeks and months, Lord, you know, surely church deserve better than me. I can't do this. And as we was in worship, a thought came to me where for 13, 14 years, I've been standing with my arms open, and then we sing a song, arms high. Stand and I'll stand with you is what the Lord says. And he says that to you too. Maybe you are saying, I can't do this. But God says, no, you can't, but in me, you can. You become weak, and then in that weakness, I become strong. And I'm excited about what God is doing. He's shaking things, yes, but we have someone leading children's church who said, I want to do anything, but I don't want to do children's church. And yet she's leading children's church. We had three people leading worship today, and none of those three people want to be the center of attention. They'd rather be behind a screen and just have their voices. Yet they're doing what God's called them. So you have someone here and myself who really feels inadequate in his own ability, yet God says, open your mouth and I will fill it. So maybe you're in that same position. It's an exciting place to be because Paul puts it like this. He says, I come not with words of eloquence, but a demonstration of the Spirit's power. And I want you to experience God's power. And I've written down here, I can't even read my own writing. That'll come back to me soon. Apart from happy birthday, Nigel. I've actually got that down here. What is it to you? What is it to you? What a thing to say. One of the disciples said, what's going to happen to him? You know, you said that I'm going to die. What about him? And Jesus says, what is that to you? In other words, God's got a call on your life. And you might see someone else who does less than you and that they seem to be blessed. What is it to you? God's called you to do something. He wants you to be the yes, here I am, Lord, send me individual. He wants you to raise up your arms. He wants you to step out onto your bridge. He wants you to sing of his goodness. Amen. Right. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him. And he began to teach them. And there are the crowd of people around him. There's the multitude, but Jesus was primarily speaking to his disciples. So we could say and interpret that to his church. So when we look at the Beatitudes, some people put it this way. They say it's like a stairway. And each attitude leads you higher. God has a standard for us. He says, you've heard it say, but I tell you. He holds us to a greater standard. When I was a young Christian, I used to encounter people that would say things like this. Well, you think you're better than me. And I'd say, no, actually, I know that I'm not. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I have to build on his foundation, not on my foundation. Because as I said last week, and I will say again and again, there's only two foundations. It's the rock or it's the sand. And the rock represents Christ. The sand represents anything that's not Christ. And I remember chatting with Mike some time ago, and I hope you don't mind me sharing this, Mike, but he was in tears before the Lord saying, God. And he said, we need to get back to the foundation, back to basics. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever would believe in him will have life and life in all his fullness. That's the beginning. That's the good news of the gospel. So we talk here about the blessings, and it says in Verse 3, he said, not I said or the disciples said, but Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There is a kingdom to come. Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, started to preach something that in many areas of Christian walk we don't like to preach. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And for some reason, that seems to be a poorly used word nowadays, repent, because apparently we are easily offended. And we are calling things like microaggressions. I might just be offended, so just in case I will be offended, just in case you do offend me. Well, do you know what? The Bible wants to lift you up. He wants to bless you. But we need, I believe, to have an understanding of what God's word actually is to us. So blessed are the poor in spirit, those that know, Lord, I need more of you. Blessed are those that mourn, for they will be comforted. Jesus knew that we would need a comforter. That's why he sent the comforter. And when we mourn, we look at that word, it's not just about mourning for those loved ones that we've lost, or mourning for a relationship that we've lost, or mourning for the workplace situation that we used to have. It's mourning over the sin that's in the world. It's mourning over our own mistakes. It's mourning over the fact that people are going into the darkness instead of walking into the light. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And we spoke about that last week. Power under control. And the best illustration I can find for me is that of a mighty stallion, a horse. All that power, all that blood pumping round the body, that muscle and sinew, yet it's controlled by a small bit. When you pull right, the animal goes right. It's power under control. So the meekness that God calls me and you to is to know that he is that power. We're under his control. If he says stop, we need to stop. Then this week, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. You know, when we start to look at these portions of scripture, blessed are those. Do you belong to Jesus? Well, you're blessed. Do you always feel blessed? Maybe not. But the Bible says we walk by faith, not by feelings. You know, if I lived my life by the way I felt, sometimes I maybe wouldn't get up in the morning. I don't feel like facing the world. I don't feel like going to work. I don't feel like having to sit down with those people and be nice. But God's given us a blessing. If we hunger and thirst, and you know what it is to hunger, and you know what it is to thirst. And maybe for me and you, our hunger and thirst is different to someone in a war-torn situation where they are hungering for natural food and hungering and thirsting for natural water. But we're talking here about the spiritual hunger and the spiritual thirst. Jesus said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Do you want to be filled? I want to be filled. I want to hunger and thirst. And I will admit to you that I've become complacent with the food that's in front of me. I've become complacent with the water that God provides. It's there, isn't it? And yet there's times I don't drink. It's there, but there's times I don't eat. Come to the table. Jesus says through the scriptures, come, I set before you a table in the presence of your enemies. Come and eat and have your full. And sometimes we may say, that's okay, I'm not hungry. Well, Jesus says to his band of merry men, he says to his disciples, he says to you and me afresh, blessed are those that hunger and thirst, but for righteousness, for they will be filled. When we look in Isaiah 55 verse 1. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without cost. What's he saying there? There's something that God is offering you and me and those around us that won't cost us anything. It's a spiritual food. It's a spiritual water. Come, it's salvation. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord after you've repented, then salvation is yours. We heard about it during some testimony today. There was a curtain that separated me and you from God. So there was a curtain that separated us. That curtain represented sin. The sin separated me and you from God. And when Jesus hung on the cross and shed his blood, that curtain was torn from top to bottom, and it gave us access. And when we accepted all that Jesus had done for us, that's you and me, when we accepted that, there was a righteousness that he clothed us with. We have a right standing with him. When we are in our sins, we're dead. When we confess our sins, we're alive. That gives us a righteousness that's not by what we do, it's by what he's done. Yes? So when we look at the righteousness, first of all, that the Bible talks about, it's about having a right standing with God. So if you've been an individual in your life where you've said, Lord, forgive me for living my life my way. I want to live my life your way. Father, forgive me for the things that I've thought, the things that I've said, the things that I've done. Lord, come and save me. Come and speak to me. Come and fill me. God's word is true. He did. That means you have a right standing with him. And when we look through our lives now as Christians, there's only, we sing a song that says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And that is true. There are things that your children will do that you won't like, but that won't separate them from your love for them. It's the same as our spiritual father. There's nothing you can do that will stop him loving you, but there is sin in our lives that will separate us from his best. So if we want a righteousness as having a right standing with him, we need to start from the foundation, acknowledging that we're sinners saved by grace. When we've been saved by grace, that righteousness comes into our life, not because, as I said, what you've done, but what he's done for you. So I want you to want us to understand, if we're thirsty, we can come. We can come to the waters. We don't need to pay for it. We just need to receive it. So if you're thirsty today, then you come to the Lord and drink. If you're hungry today, then you come to the Lord and eat. But let's hunger and thirst for righteousness, a right standing with him. When we take communion, we're encouraged to empty ourselves of us and fill ourselves with him. Say, Lord, well, my prayer is normally, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit. I don't want anything to separate me from you. Lord, I want to come to your table. When I take of this bread, Father, it represents your body that was broken for me. Lord, when I drink this juice, it represents your blood that was shed for me. Forgive me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Encourage me. I want a right standing with you. Let's keep short accounts. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, it says this. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness, and they cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. Now, what Spirit are we talking about? We're talking about the Holy Spirit. Yes, we all understand that. There are things that you will share with people and they won't understand because they're only spiritually discerned. There are things that God will say to you, and that discerned because the Spirit of God lives in you. Because if you go right back to the beginning, when we talk about the foundation, when we go right back to the beginning, no one can lay any foundation other than the one that's already laid. And that foundation is Jesus Christ. So we build upon him, and we build upon him, and we come up. So when we start looking at our spiritual discernment, we need to understand that if you've accepted Christ Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, you've been born again. You've been born of his Spirit. Words that some churches don't like us to say. Words like born again, blood, sin. But we're born again. We're saved from our sin because we're covered by his blood. This is the good news that we preach. Jesus was saying to his disciples, blessed are you that hunger and thirst for righteousness. There's something that we can take more of. We can be satisfied. I haven't got enough of him. I was saying to someone this morning, when there's more of him, that means there's less of me. And that's a good thing. Amen? Amen. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit. They consider them foolishness. So I want to suggest to us as a church, as we move forward in the plans and purposes of God, that we should ask God to show us things afresh. Lord, Holy Spirit, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit that I may be righteous before you. Lord, I hunger and thirst for your righteousness. I hunger and thirst for your word. I hunger and thirst, Father God. If you want me to stop, I'll stop. If you want me to go to the right, I'll go to the right. You want me to go to the left, I'll go to the left. But if we pray them prayers, we must be in a position where it was said earlier that we just become still and let God speak to us. For me, being a little bit vulnerable, some weeks ago I prayed that God would release me and let me just go off and do something else. And depends on how you look at it, he said, no, I changed not. I haven't changed. I called you in on Isaiah 61 to bind up the broken hearts and set the captives free. That's what I want you to do. So I had to wrestle with God. And so do you. We come to church. We are the church. We're like living stones being built together into a holy temple. Well, that temple needs to be holy, doesn't it, if we want God to dwell in it? Does that make sense? You see, God only dwells in the holy temple. And if we are a temple of the Holy Spirit, we need to be a holy temple of the Holy Spirit. So we need to cleanse ourselves of all unrighteousness. How do we do that? I'm glad you asked. We'll speak to Mike later. He'll tell us. But the word of God encourages to says, seek him first. Pursue, hunger and thirst for righteousness, a right standing with God. We empty ourselves of us. He fills ourselves with him. That's how we become righteous. That's how we become holy. We want God to dwell with us, doesn't he? He's given us a measure of faith. He's given us a measure of faith. Lord, increase my faith. He's given us a measure of his spirit. Lord, increase the spiritual activity that you've called me to. Lord, I want to hunger and thirst for righteousness. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus. Who's him? God. If we... It doesn't matter where you start in scripture. You can just keep going. I'm going to go all the way up to 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18. Just to get back down to that small portion of scripture. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But you're not perishing, are you? Because you're blessed. To those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not the God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. That's you and me, and we're blessed. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jew and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, for the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things of the world that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus. It's because of God that you are in Christ Jesus. God gave you an opportunity to repent and you chose to. God gives you an opportunity to hunger and thirst for righteousness because you will be more blessed. That's what conviction does. When conviction does its work, it's like an extension to our consciences. Before I was a Christian, I would do something and I would be happy to do it. After being a Christian, there's still things that I know I should do and I don't do, but I know I should have done them. Does that make sense? And there are other things that I'm compelled to do because the conviction of God is upon me because I am seeking his righteousness. I'm praying in a way that I'm saying, Lord, help me. Lord, more of you, less of me. And God's answering that prayer. As I seek him, I find him. As I repent, he fills me. So for me and you, let's be ones that boast in him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us the wisdom of God. Jesus has become our wisdom. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Jesus has become our righteousness. We have a right standing because we're in him. Yes? So let's stay in him. Let's hunger and thirst. I want you to be blessed. I want to be blessed. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. We serve a gracious God. In 1 Peter 1, verse 14, as obedient children, that's me and you, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. I speak to people all the time. You'll be glad to know that. I do. I don't just smile and walk on. I speak to people and I find this, that we're so easily offended, aren't we? That you may say something and I might disagree and you're offended, or you might say something and I disagree and I'm offended. I find that we're offended, but when I read God's word, he's offensive, isn't he? He actually says it as it is. It says this, as obedient children, that's you and me, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. He's calling you an evil, ignorant person. Listen carefully, that's how you used to be. But because of the righteousness of Christ, you can now live in that right standing. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. So God's challenging us. He's saying, on one hand, yes, you're righteous because of my righteousness. Then Jesus came and he nailed to the cross your sin and he nailed to the cross my sin. And when we accept what he's done, we receive his righteousness because he was without sin. Yes? You all agree with that? He was without sin. So there was a right standing with the Son and the Father. Yes? So we inherited that when we accepted what Jesus had done for us. But Christ goes on to say, be holy. Be holy. So be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Jesus is the example. Lord, I want to be more like you. Lord, I want to be more like you. That means that you will be given the opportunity to be more offended. You'll be given the opportunity to give more of your time, to give more of your finances, to give more humility. You'll be given more of what God has because we want to be like him. And it's a difficult place to be sometimes. But we need to go right back to the beginning of these passages of scripture that I've been bringing is you're blessed. You're blessed. Just like the man who was filling up 1,000 or so communion cups on his own, asked the question, my goodness, that's hard work. And he went, no, I'm blessed. He understood. This is not a job. This is a privilege. The man and the woman who says, here's my offering, here's my finances. And someone says, you're really giving that much money to God? I'm blessed. I'm blessed. The person who spends time with the individual that seems to throw that time back in their face and someone else looks on and says, surely you don't want to. You say, no, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. God's given, so I want to give. But we can only do that if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, I believe. Because when we have a right standing with God, God gives us everything we need. You see, in my humanness and my weakness, that's the point where I've not allowed God in. Where I feel vulnerable, where I've not allowed God in, where I feel that I'm under attack, where I've not allowed God in, where I think I'm having a pity party and woe is me, and that's it, I'm going back to cut grass. But God says that we won't be sent out to fish for fish, we'll be sent out to fish for men. So God's called me and you to be fishers of men, but I, like you, need to hunger and thirst for righteousness. To some who were confident, this is Luke 18:9. to some who were confident in their own righteousness. So there is an opportunity for you and me to be confident in our own righteousness. Yeah, well, I deserve this because I've earned it. That promotion is mine because I've earned it. I deserve that pay rise because I've earned it. There is an opportunity for all of us, as it says here, some were confident in their own righteousness. That doesn't mean that we can't be thankful for the talents that God's given us. Lord, I thank you for the voice that you've given me that I can share with your people. Lord, I thank you for the strong hands you've given me that I can work for your kingdom. Lord, I thank you for the mind that you've given me so that I can be mindful and teach others. You know, that's a good thing. But there were people here who were confident in their own righteousness. And I want to suggest that when we become confident in our own righteousness, we stumble and fall. There's a scripture that says, be careful if you think you are standing firm, that you do not stumble and fall. And I don't know about you, but I want to be confident, yes. Christ in me, the hope of glory. You might have a situation that you're praying about and you're saying, Lord, I can't do this. Well, you can't. That's not having confidence in yourself. That's having confidence in him. Lord, I can't do this, but you can. Lord, I can't go there, but you can. Lord, I can't give that, but you can. Lord, I can't be this, but you can be that in me. So let's hunger and thirst for righteousness. Some are confident in their own righteousness and look down on everyone else. Jesus told this parable. And Jesus is a person who, he takes what happens in the day and he puts a story behind it. And I want to share that story with you. Two men went up to the temple to pray. They both went to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Now, when you talk about a tax collector in them days, they didn't just collect taxes for the government. They put some in their own pocket. They had a bad reputation. I'm sure they all weren't of that ilk, but there were many who were. So when he says tax collector, he knows that they had a reputation. There's a story about Zacchaeus, and we'll use that another day. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like all the other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I'm not like those people. They don't go to church. They don't pay their tithes. They don't honor their leadership. They don't support their mother. They don't look after the widows. I'm not like those people. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven. But he beat his breast and he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you, Jesus said, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humble, but all those that humble themselves will be exalted. Why do I bring this? I bring this because we are blessed, but we are blessed because God's blessed us. When we receive, it's a blessing from God. That's why we give. God doesn't want you to neglect the latter or the former. He wants me and you to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Lord, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit. I don't want to be separated by sin. Father, I want to have a right standing with you. I know that heaven is mine. But Father God, when you test me, you will test me, and only the gold, the silver, and the precious stones will remain. The straw, the stubble, and the hay will be consumed. Your word shows me that. Lord, I want less stubble, less straw, less wood. I want more gold, more silver, more precious stones. What that means is the things we do, the things we think, the things we say, we want them to glorify God. That's the precious stones. That's the gold and silver that God is talking about. All the things that are not of God are the wood and the stubble, and they're the things that I want consumed in my life. I hope you do too. But I want you to know the beginning of this scripture. Let that remain in your hearts, that you and I, we are blessed because we belong to him. I'm not going to get through all the scriptures that I have here, but just maybe one or two more. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentiles. For the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed in righteousness, a right standing. That is by faith from the first to the last. So there's a right standing that we have because of the gospel. The gospel means good news. We're sinners saved by grace, yes? But we're not to be those that stand and look down on others. You see, Jesus, through the Beatitudes, he doesn't pull us down, he lifts us up. He says, you've heard it say, but I tell you this. He holds me and you to a greater standard. When we look at ourselves and we want to be more Christ-like, that means he'll knock more of the rough edges off of me and you. The gospel is the righteousness of God, and it's revealed. A righteousness that is by faith. You might not feel very righteous, but you need to believe what God has done for you and for me. This might only speak to one person today. That's good. It might only be for me. That's good. But when his word is preached, when it is proclaimed as his truth, it will set us free. But now, apart from the law, in Romans 3:21, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. We hear about it in the Old Testament. This righteousness that we hear about in the Old Testament is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference. So it comes right back to the gospel. All have sinned, but all has been given the opportunity to believe. And that's the gospel. The righteousness that me and you have isn't by following the law. The righteousness that we receive is by trusting that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. Not the abolishment of the law, but the fulfillment of the law. That in him we've been made righteous. And then we are to be working out our salvation. Then we are being asked, be people that will ask for forgiveness, be forgiven, and then walk forward. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. So going through this week, may we be a people that will say, Lord, I want more of you. And when you ask that, that means there'll be less of you and more of him. A people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, the light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Maybe there's a time for us to examine ourselves afresh. I know for me there is. To repent and say, Lord, I want to hunger and thirst for your righteousness. I want to keep that right standing with you. In Psalm 29, verse 11, the Lord gives strength to his people. That's you. The Lord gives you strength. I can't do this. Good, I can through you. The Lord gives strength to his people. You are his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. He blesses you and he blesses me with peace, a peace that transcends all understanding. There's hunger and thirst after righteousness, because we are blessed. Not because we want more blessing, but because we are already blessed. So let's be a people that will acknowledge what God has already done for us through Christ Jesus. In Luke 6:21, blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. When you take scriptures at face value, you think that you're going to be hungry for food. No, it's hungry for him. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. I don't know about you, but I want to be satisfied. I want more of him so that there is less of me. In John 4, verse 13, Jesus answered, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. The story is, he's by the well. Anyone who drinks of this natural water will thirst again. When you are naturally thirsty, you will always be thirsty. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. There's a promise there for me and you. If we'll drink and thirst for his righteousness, we can experience more of heaven here on earth. Because heaven is assured for me and you if we truly believe that we've repented and accepted Christ as Saviour and Lord. But we can experience more of heaven here on earth if we continue to hunger and thirst for a right standing with Him. Create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit. Let that be a song on our hearts this week. In John 7, verse 37, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." We'll invite our worship team back and we'll finish there. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Are you thirsty? Spiritually thirsty? If the answer is yes, don't come to me, go to Him. Lord, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit. Whoever believes in me, this is Jesus, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Within you. Why? Because you're blessed. 1 John 1:18, and I really will finish with this one. 1 John 1:18. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all. In the Greek, in the Hebrew, in the Latin, I've studied this, it actually means all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Not some of your unrighteousness. He will purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and the word is not in us. So if we are truthful and honest to ourselves, and we come before Him and say, "Lord, we have sinned," then He promises to purify us from all unrighteousness. And if we're purified from all unrighteousness, what does that make us? Righteous. Because you're blessed. Amen.